When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right. My dog has a huge crush on Paul. Gigantic crush on Paul. Mm. We're not going to go too far into that. Before we begin, hey, let us... You know what?
Oh, are we going?
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
We should properly give thanks. Let's give thanks. Gooder sunglasses, people. Fit, function, fashion, and fun-friendly. Those are the words that describe... I love having this music behind my... You know, it's a confession. We're giving thanks. Those are the words that describe the best thing you can put on your face. Gooder sunglasses offer all the best in style and protection for your peepers at pennies on the dollar. Get to Gooder.com today. And if you were listening to us live, the last I saw, they were offering, like, free shipping... It was like a super happy hour until 10 p.m. on today, Tuesday, the 1st of February. So get over to Gooder.com and buy some shades. Athletic Brewing, people. You want to watch bike races, but you find that they're just too damned early to start your day drinking? Well, grab yourself an Athletic and enjoy guilt, hangover, or sleepy feeling free. Get over to Packfiller.com today. Click on the link to show us where you found them and enjoy the multitude of brilliant non-alcoholic craft beverages. Ambassador Cycling, everybody. Get fit to get fit. You know your body changes, right? Not just size. And if you're me, well, yeah. Pressure points fit stress on joint changes. What the hell did I say? Pressure points shift. They put stress on joint changes and don't even get me started on aging. Make sure you are up to date with proper positioning on the bike with Ambassador Cycling. Shut the fuck up, church music. Sam can help you with his new bikes, your new bikes, your existing bike, or even alternative bikes in your stable. AmbassadorCycling.com. And finally, Untapped Maple, which is one of our newest sponsors for this year, or our newest sponsors this year. Waffles, gels, drinks, mixes, and all using the brilliance of pure Vermont maple syrup. Now, don't think that everything's going to taste like maple bars and Mrs. Butterworth. On the contrary, it's smooth, quickly digesting, and great tasting. Get to Untapped Maple today. Man, I sucked at those sponsor reads today. But hopefully they'll forgive me. I was curious about what you were...
Somebody dropped a pen.
Yeah, well, I usually leave pens on the floor? Table for everybody. No, not on the floor. I think it's a pencil. I think it's one of those mechanical pencils. I almost said click-a-click-a pencils.
Technical term.
Yeah. Hey, let's do this. We're here in the newly renovated Rim Break Bar. I know that upsets Jackson. Nestled within the Arriva Studios in cold and dark Spokane. It's time for another slice of the two-wheeled lifestyle. Let's get ready for the Pack Filler podcast. I am Pat Bulger holding down the controls. With me is your favorite band of opinionated bike buttheads.
Broadhead.
Broadhead?
Yeah, it's pronounced Broadhead.
Bike Broadhead buttheads? Gentlemen, please follow your introduction with the best candy ever made. The best candy ever made. It cannot be alcoholic. First of all, and we're going to wait for an update on this one, Mr. Bad Back himself, Paul Maine. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right.
What's the best candy ever made?
Boy, I just like simple, dark, dark chocolate.
I thought you were going to say, like, licorice. No, good old-fashioned licorice.
I love licorice. I like good quality licorice. I don't like that. Yeah, I like black.
Black and old.
And everybody says black licorice. There's only one licorice. It's
there
black.
Is. Yeah. Red doesn't really count. It's not a licorice.
No. Yeah. But I do enjoy that. But
dark chocolate.
Darker 70%, the better.
Yeah. I agree. That's good shit. Mr. Tex Rambler, Jack Broadhead. How are you, man?
Great.
What is your favorite candy?
Well, you guys like totally blew my ideals of candy. So red vines. I've eaten more red vines than any candy on earth.
Didn't you get in trouble for eating red vines before?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just corn nuts and red vines on the way to a break.
That's some shitty sprint. That's some shitty sprint burps.
That's rough.
Yeah. That doesn't sound.
But good. I could eat red vines.
Okay, tons. Red vines. Or Twizzlers.
Yeah.
And why?
Twizzlers are plastic.
They're disgusting, aren't they?
They're disgusting, yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get angry people with
us. Well, you'll lose that sponsor.
Yeah. Mm. Well, fuck. I don't want Twizzlers because they're terrible. It's like eating a candle.
I even eat grapevines and black vines.
Grapevines?
They're red vines, but grape. They're good. They taste like grape soda.
They make a gigantic bag. I remember of all different sizes of black and red in one bag.
And it's like just the different shapes. And That's good.
My dad used to keep black licorice under his car seat because nobody liked black licorice. So my dad would capitalize on that because he could eat it. And then when you get sleepy driving, because we drove everywhere, he would eat licorice to keep himself going. Hmm. And he'd have to actually hit it over the steering wheel.
To break it, because
it would get so old.
But where did the piece that broke off go?
Into his hand. He'd hold his hand behind the steering wheel and snap it off. And then eat old black licorice.
Before padded steering wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The other thing I'm going to remember, I don't know why this is popping into my head now, but the other thing I remember is the clicker button on the floor to adjust the high beams.
Yeah.
That sound of licorice breaking over steering wheels and the in the Suburban as we're driving to and from bike races or ski races. Anyway, sorry. Third, Mr. New Tights himself, Jackson Boulder. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. It's tough to answer this question.
Really?
Because I'm such a connoisseur of candy.
You kind of drink candy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Like, it's tough. So I am not a chocolate guy, though.
You're not?
No. I strictly stay over to like the sweet, kind of fruitier candies.
Fruity Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Fruity Tootsie Rolls are good.
He mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Last night, I proudly ate a whole bag of, they make jelly beans, but they just include the sour ones. Those are pretty good.
Wow.
So that's your favorite candy now? It's what you're eating now as opposed to like a classic all-time favorite.
See,
I thought you'd go Skittles. I thought Skittles would be bam, your immediate response. That's what you always ate as a kid.
I can always like go back to Skittles, you know, like that's a good base. But I like a lot of it's just fruity candy. I'll go for it.
Whatever it is. Fruity candy. Yep. That is a kind of a half-assed answer, but I'll allow it.
It's like your favorite movie. Decide.
Oh, yeah, that's I understand. Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Or kid.
Well, it's easy with him.
I know. Well,
he's a good boy. Me, I'm Mr. Basement Dweller. My favorite candy is without a doubt a good old-fashioned Snickers bar. I just the Snickers bars are the best. That's my go-to. Although I do love dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. The darker the better. Like 100% dark, I could eat it straight. Just love it. There was this confectionery, whatever they called it, a chocolatier here in Spokane for a while, that used to make hot chocolate with whatever percentage of chocolate you wanted. Mm-hmm. And I remember having to make like a 90% dark chocolate, hot chocolate. that place shouldn't have closed. Yeah. I'm just telling you, of all the crimes against the world, I didn't say humanity because it's
nor the swamp.
Yeah, yeah, the swamp. That closing was bad, but yeah. So anyways, bike racing, bike riding, bikes. I gotta talk about bikes, don't I? Who's riding and how much? Who wants to confess?
Well,
I got crickets on that one.
I was waiting for everybody else.
Okay.
No, I rode last week. I did my calisthenic workout, and then I raced on Wednesday, and then I rode outside. We rode outside.
When Jackson says he raced on Wednesday, we got to call him out a little bit. How'd you do on Wednesday, Jackson?
I did pretty well. I was able to... Yep.
Yeah.
I was able to win on Wednesday. It was the first Zwift race I've ever won, so that was pretty interesting.
Won a Zwift race.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was pretty proud of this.
The sponsors are going to pick him up now.
He won two categories. He won his category and the category above him.
Yeah. Wow. And you all would be proud. I raced it like a true bike race. So
good.
Yeah. You sat on and then sprinted at the end.
Yeah, I wish. I kind of hit it on the climbs and would just... like kind of I would just be that attacker all the time, tried to be aggressive, but
So how many was that ride? Three workouts this week. Sunday I want to bring up Sunday. Jackson and I rode outside on Sunday on his idea. Mr. I'm always too cold. We rode outside.
You must have got tights.
He did.
I did.
He did. Yep. Do you want to comment on your tights and the fact that the tights were basically an urn from the show last week?
Yeah. So it is like riding outside for me is like a big mental, like it's good. It's really good for my mental health. Cause over the past couple of months that I haven't been, it's been kind of like, just dreary, you know? And so, my girlfriend and I got some tights together. We're sharing them. She gets them on the odd days. I get them on the even. But I was looking through all the brands, and you know, like what we were talking about the other day. Like, oh my God, they're expensive. But then I was like, you know, let's go to Rafa. Let's like see how expensive those are.
Really? Yeah.
You'd be surprised. They make a core winter set for $150, which like that's expensive as hell.
It sounds insane, but
not really.
Comparison, like they do this core thing where they want to give you the quality of like buying Rafa, but for the price, like for a more affordable price, which I really appreciate because I think we are such an expensive sport. Why do we need to spend so much? And when a brand as expensive and luxurious as Rafa kind of notices that, I think that's pretty cool.
I have kind of a mild bone to pick with Rafa on that one. It's just like, we're going to make our super expensive stuff, but we're going to make stuff that everybody else is going to ride. Well, that's what you should be fucking making, is stuff that everybody wants to ride. Never mind, I'm old. Jack, how was your ride week?
I got in
come on, Jack.
Three indoor rides.
You did?
Yeah. I'm still riding indoors.
Good boy.
But I've been too busy to put on all the gear and go outside. And my winter bike's in Hoquiam, so I just won't ride outside.
Oh my God, we're going to have so much fun with you today on the discussion topic.
And I heard your show last week, and you were talking about wool tights that we all have from when we were 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I still have Perlazumis that are a wool Perlazumi, and they were $80 at the time, maybe even more, maybe $90.
They're called Durawool. That's what they're.
And with the chamois in it.
I've got it. No, well, they made one with the chamois.
So I had one with the chamois, no suspenders, but I have the World Championship suspenders.
Yeah.
And then I have a pair of Tommaso from like one of the first Granny's Gears that were bib tights.
Yeah.
And they're just a thermal tight, and they're still holding up. I mean, not that I rode for 10 years in a row, but you know, they're still alive too. So
I know this is yeah. I'm jumping the gun on the topic. We're going to be talking about this kind of stuff, but Jackson bought tights with a chamois. Mm-hmm. Is that a generational gap thing? Because I never bought tights with a chamois.
All mine have with
chamois. Really?
Yeah. I mean, my first pair when I was 14 didn't.
Yeah.
But my...
None of mine have.
Yeah.
Ever. I just ordered a new pair from...
But doesn't it wear... I mean, that's a part of the thing. Is competitive it's a fairly cyclist. Thin. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly thin chamois on all my tights. They're not like a...
Is yours, Jackson?
It's not like a road, like you're going to wear them. I have worn my Tommasos without shorts, but I'd always wear shorts underneath them because the chamois...
Did you wear shorts underneath, Jackson, today? This weekend?
Mine's a wear for as long as you ride type of...
Like full on.
Chamois.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like okay, mine aren't. Wow. They're thinner than that.
Huh. All right. Paul, how's your ride week?
I had...
Dude, how's the back? How is the back?
Much, much better. Went and saw, I think after the show, I went and saw Jeff did it, or was that 2 weeks ago? Jeff from Tailwinds?
Yeah.
And
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, met with Sam, and then this last week I went...
You. On your bike?
No. He already gave that a shot.
Yeah.
He says, you're hopeless.
Yeah.
but I went back again. It started getting better after the second session with Sam. And then I got out of bed because most of the pain was gone and it dropped me. And so I went and saw him again. I think, God, when was it? Friday? And I'm like 80% there.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
Back. Yeah. So.
Any massage?
No massage. I never got a call back from Jake. Yeah. He's still probably on the mountain.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. He's busy.
Yeah.
So, I feel it's a great testament for what they did, both Jeff and Sam. Sam did most of the work because I saw him twice. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of it, I guess. we just sat and talked, and he showed me some exercises, and I've been diligent on that, which is usually not my forte. Because I just want it to go away, you know. So
you're going
to
be so goddamn fast this year because you're focused. You're focused. You're laser focused, and it's scaring the shit out of me, man.
Well, I did get five rides in, but they're all indoors. So
you got five.
Count. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been riding at least a half hour to an hour on the trainer.
We're all screwed.
No.
We're all screwed. Yep. Actually, we're not screwed. We have a really strong teammate.
Mm-hmm.
See how I did that? See how I pulled that room? Me, I got 3 days in this week. I'm getting a bit concerned about my schedule, and I keep thinking there's, you know, the demon on my shoulder, you know, telling me to get your shit going, and he's getting bigger and bigger, and so I got to get my shit together. So I'm worried about that. But Jackson and I got out on Sunday, which was a gigantic, almost, I don't want to say life-changing moment, but it was that. Putting on all your shit and planning for all that and knowing it's really cold is so much, but getting outside is such a brain clearer.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a brain clearer. So that's what we're going to get onto that anyway as we go here. So I got 3 days in this week. I wanted to race this week, but just kind of how things landed with our planning to ride and stuff like that. In other words, I pushed out. So anyway, where was I going to go? Oh, we're adding to the Pack Filler Empire, everybody. Stay tuned for more and check back to packfiller.com because there's a lot going on. I got a very interesting phone call this weekend that's going to be happening that should be kind of a teaser there. So and we've been talking about all kinds of kind of fun video ideas, one of them being Paul having going on an overnight actual bike camping trip, which is the equivalent, I'm sure, of Paul in either purgatory or hell.
Yeah, both.
Yeah?
Yeah, one foot in, one in the other.
I think that would be funnier than shit. So we're how brilliant would that be? I think that would be so much fun. Should we check the headlines? No, you know what? We're going to check the headlines. But before we check the headlines.
Bring your fishing pole.
Bring your fishing pole?
Yep. I don't have one.
I'll bring you one.
I don't have a tent.
I'll bring that too.
I don't have anything.
I got it. I got you.
Gentlemen, I would like to draw your attention to the monitor behind you for us before
before watch this.
We begin.
Oh boy. Astana wraps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Astana, Kazakhstan team.
This is Astana, Kazakhstan team. Yeah. Looking fresh. We are ready to win.
We are on the pedals for the gold medals. Our job is to win. Astana is my team.
You're not watching, Jack. Come on. Win, and it
will be done. It's embarrassing.
We are rolling pedals for the gold medals. Rolling pedals for the gold medals. That's good.
I'm going to stop here shortly, but I have to hear this first. This guy.
This my way, my passion, my message, my power, my game. My back on the road, my heart with my team. My goals moving forward, I follow my dream.
My bike, you're my passion, I love you so much. You look so high fashion, I'm mad of your touch. I spend all my time with my bike just to feel that all is still fine with my racing skills.
Scrolling my Twitter, I'm using hashtags, my bike.
I was fine until Vino appeared. But
I like his voice, Vino's.
Do you?
Yeah, he's a little gangster sounding.
I'm not. That was in place of the news intro where I usually say Panda Watch. Gentlemen, I would like an initial thought on that very thing, which released today, the Astana rap. There have been other organizations that have done something similar in the past.
Yeah, I can't remember. Chicago Bears.
Astana did it before.
Oh.
Was it always the
2 years ago or something like that? They had another one. And they had like a big chain ring, you know, for like their.
So obviously, they're big rap fans.
I think, Paul, you said it best. Is it truly them trying to rap or are they getting the joke?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I'm voting on the joke because otherwise they look like a band of idiots. But
it's got to be that.
It's got to be. Yeah.
Otherwise, if that's how rap is in Slavic countries, then
I think it's a joke. It has to be.
Yeah.
When they're expecting Joe Dombrowski to like really like lay it down. Like,
Joe was the best part of the show. I thought
like Alexei Litsenko followed by Joe Dombrowski. Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna really like.
Yeah,
top the charts. Yeah. So they've got to be like it's got to be a bit of a joke
when he stroked the bike.
Yeah,
that was. Nice.
He's probably the one that.
And the guy
rap.
Who played the mechanic Place. Who played the guitar, the bike like a guitar. So okay, so we're all agreeing it's tongue in cheek.
Yes, oh
yeah,
so anybody who sees it, who Googles it immediately, it is an SNL type of a bit.
Yeah,
I think.
Although,
so.
Does Vina Kurov have a sense of humor?
Obviously, he does on that basically.
Yeah.
You think? Mm. You really think he took it as
either
a joke?
That he made a lot of money on it. And he does buy and sell out victories too. So, remember that.
Yeah. He's the vampire.
Yeah.
Using other people's blood. Hey, let's check the headlines. Did you know that there was a little event that took place this weekend in the U.S. of A? Yeah, the World Cyclocross Championships, boys and girls, took place in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And truly, in my opinion, did not disappoint from Zoe Backstead and the juniors to the domination of the U23s, which I admit I didn't watch. And I'm going to need somebody to give me an update on the U23s. So I will need some perspective to the GOAT grabbing herself another title on the, oh my God, unbelievable. And finally, the best Superman pose ever to cross the finish line. In my opinion, all expectations were met. So, gentlemen, reflections on the weekend of cyclocross. Does anybody have any thoughts of how you think things went and the overall reaction of bike racing coming to the U.S. and the COVID numbers and all those things? I'm opening it up for a free for all of commentary.
Is the UCI going to penalize Pitcock for his actions? The Superman. I mean, he had one hand on the bars. He was
He still has contact points.
Legal talk.
Yeah,
but if your upper pelvis is touching,
doesn't matter. It doesn't written like that way.
It's questionable.
Yeah. So you know how many riders are probably going to use that in a downhill now?
Yeah, you let him do it.
Yeah. I'm in a break.
Yeah,
fucking Pitcock did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched all of them.
More intelligent.
I watched all of them. I missed the on Saturday the women's. It was the junior women's when Zoe Backstad won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but I got the U23 boys men, whatever
boys to men.
Boys to men.
Yep.
It sounded like that video.
So hard to
when
say goodbye to yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's where Belgium just like cleaned everybody's clock.
Yeah.
They did a good job. And then the women's was really good. There was a part of the course I thought was really interesting. One, I don't think it's a cyclocross.
Good, good, good.
Did you anybody see the race at all other than me?
Which one?
They're all in the same course.
Oh, the whole thing. Course, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The course was wide open. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't any off-cambered stuff. The weather was dry and warm on the second day. That was the tricky part.
That was the one. Yeah, 180 degree turn basically.
Isabet out or somebody once.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isabet got caught behind, and that's where the gap grew. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. for him, he was right on Pitcock, or he was at it? Somebody
crossed.
Lawrence Swake was on his wheel or something. But yeah, to me, it was like the course is my type of course because it's fast, and the only true dismount was the steps. Yeah, mm-hmm. so. I like speed, so that when the average speed, when you watch some of these mud fests and they're averaging 12 kilometers an hour, it's like this is a running race, you know. Yeah. And I don't really find it enjoyable, but probably a true course would have some standard barriers or something like that.
Or a sand
pit. There's always got to be
a pinwheel.
But if you go sand or mud 1 year and fast another year, then that's a good thing. You know, you're mixing it up. You're
last
not
year was
always
sand.
Yeah, yeah. Last year exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this course suited those who are like geared towards road.
Well, fast starters too.
Yeah.
If you're not a fast starter.
Well, the men's was in a pack for a full lap.
The men's was really good. The women's was disappointing in the sense
in the first
half lap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there were people that were contenders 30 seconds back in the first lap on the women's race.
Mm-hmm. It was that much.
Claire Hassinger, she was. Mm-hmm. Did she like crash or?
She had a horrendous start.
Yeah, and so she, in the first lap, I think she was 30 seconds back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She actually kind of started to maintain, but she's gone. She's out of the race, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. immediately.
Well, that's what that wide open course. Lucinda Brandt and then Mariana Vosser, which are strong road riders.
Yeah,
you know, they just peeled it away. But I felt sorry for Lucinda. Because what do? You got
Voss sucked wheel the whole race.
Well, no, she helped out a little bit.
They shared.
Well, at first you've got
careful.
She does have a reputation.
She's not from the U.S.
I take the emails.
She does have a reputation. A lot of people do say she sucks wheels, but she's strategic. She did ended up working a little bit later, but to me, I cyclocross a few times. But if you're challenging somebody, you watch their lines. You watch, you know, for a lap or two, and try and gather all this intel about where can I attack this person and get a gap. I'm assuming that's what she did, you know, where her strengths are and where Lucinda's strengths are. So, but I wondered what would you do to get Voss off your wheel, except that one little hill that we were talking mm-hmm. about where all you have to do is just hesitate a little bit.
And she
the person behind out. Is one yeah. back and you can fall back down that hill. You have to dismount and that's where your gap is.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. Whether that's cheating or not, that's what I would have done. So I thought it was very good. There was no doubt when it came down to the sprint. That's going to be Voss. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Voss wasn't in there on that first lap. She was fourth or she was back a little bit.
She had a dab. She had a little problem going into one of the first quarters.
I mean, three girls.
I recall.
Three ladies that were in three Dutch and a French or two Dutch. And the
they're
French
girls country. And ladies. You ladies, can say yeah. both terms.
I said guys to begin with, and I'm just like, the guys. Yeah, I mean, but once she caught, then I think it was a planned two woman time trial
to get the gap,
and then decide, okay, now we're not teammates. We're going to race
then
each
sword
other.
Fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought the women's race was definitely the most tactical of all of the races. I could see that both Lucinda and Mariana were really like kind of watching each other, and then right as it kind of came down to the final, you could see the cat and mouse really start, especially when mm-hmm. Lucinda Brand like was like kind of easing off it a little bit, waiting for them to come side by side, which was a cross race I've never seen before. I know that there are tactics in it, and I know you have to time when you make your attacks, but they were so evenly matched throughout that entire race, and like Paul said, when it came down to the sprint, there was no, like, we all knew what was going to happen. But it was like definitely a very like smart ridden race by the two of them. Yeah, I felt bad for Clara Hansinger though.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
she was on like she was pretty far up there on the starting.
She was on the front line.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was yeah. far like furthest to the far left, left. Yep. Same place that Pidcock was. And then they started and it was she just got swallowed.
Yeah, she was like 20th into the first corner yeah. or something like that.
Which immediately I was like, "Oh, this is going to be exciting." And then that start mm. happened and it was like, "Oh, that's a bit of a bummer."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cuz I wanted to see what she could do. But I was even surprised by Celine Alvarado. She yeah. was. I thought she would be within yeah. that, within touching distance of Voss and Brandt, but not even close.
I was stoked Prosecco left her behind. She crashed,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I didn't want it to be a Dutch podium.
Sweet top yep. three.
So, yeah. yeah, I was so happy about that.
I was just like,
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for you, but yay. Yeah, yeah. It was that moment. Yeah.
yeah, I agree. I agree.
I will say I felt like for both races, both of the winners rode it, like didn't really perfectly. Put a step wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm leaning predominantly towards the male side of this. Was it tainted? Because of the no-shows?
I guess I didn't really think about it because
yeah.
they weren't there.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Kind of better racing. I mean, yeah. it's more that I thought about that during the race, like the Tour de France when, say, Chris Froome crashed out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, all right, now what five guys
yeah.
are going to mm-hmm. fight to win? Hmm. You know, it's more like that. So if with Wout and yeah, it just Adrie. Would. Yeah,
Adrie Vanderpool.
Yeah. Was,
you know, yeah. How old am I?
Matthew. With Matthew. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. It would have been a, you know, it would have been very much like the women's race mm-hmm. where those two would have just. And Pidcock might have been close.
He was flying.
It, you know, the course kind of reminded me, maybe I'm remembering mm-hmm. wrong, but the Olympic mountain bike race, very much the same style of, you know, fast. Wide open, you know, mm-hmm. there are a couple mm-hmm. sections that are technical, but that was perfect for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this was equally perfect for him.
He was on another level.
Yeah.
I will like,
he was just toying with people. I yeah. mean, and you're talking about Tunerts, you're talking about Easterbit, you're talking yeah. about all these people who are fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riders. I mean, this is not like, oh, he's playing with the rest of the rest. You know, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
This
it was
is huge.
It was crazy, especially like watching him go over that hump and seeing how he could stall his pedals perfectly and then fly over it and how it would just stop everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good bike handler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, unbelievable. Well, yeah. he's an Olympic mountain bike.
You see his tail yeah. whip at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. just. What's that in the Superman pose. That in the Superman yeah. pose were just awesome.
I will say the only disappointment I had out of the race was seeing Lars van der Haar right at the end when he just, like, when he was with Ellie Izzerbit mm-hmm. and how he just shot out of a cannon mm-hmm. on his attack. Like, I was surprised that he still had that, and it made me think, what if he stuck with Pidcock and
yeah.
that race would have been so much better because it was like, wow, like you're on the last lap and you have so much left.
Yeah.
It like that was, I was kind of disappointed because I would have liked to have seen those two race each other.
Should he have spent that cartridge a little earlier yeah. maybe or something like
well,
that?
Well, I think it got caught off because, you know, the first lap, I mean, the Belgians were controlling the pace and everything yeah. and mm-hmm. that's what they were, you know, once Pidcock attacked, it was up to the four or five Belgian guys that were with Van der Haar.
Yeah,
you know, why yeah. would he contribute just to drag those guys up? Especially, mm-hmm. Izzerbit has been doing really well. Yeah. For Pidcock, I mean, he had a huge training block
that's
like 2 weeks prior. Mm-hmm. And then he was kind of flat a little bit. But, you know, when you hit things heavy, you know, it usually takes like a week or two, a little bit of rest. And he did get there a day ahead of everybody else. Here's the strange thing about the closest international airport to that place. Fayetteville is O'Hara, Chicago. So they have to find a way, probably three bikes, would you have a mechanic or two, all your sets of wheels and everything, you have to drive down there. What? How do you get all that crap down there? Logistic nightmare. So maybe that's some of the reason, well, I don't know, there was other reasons why
get there
so
early.
Many Europeans
get there early,
get all that taken care of.
Kitamoto, man.
I mean,
never mind. Bike racing on the road is back, in case you guys didn't notice. I don't know if you guys have been watching this thing called the internet. Mm-hmm. Well, if you watched, if you were into the Saudi tour, political or whatever perspectives aside, if you blinked, you missed it today. I don't know if you guys were watching live.
Yeah, it was only like 20. Yeah,
it was the last 300 meters.
Yeah, yeah. But there's some highlights. You can find highlights of the crash in the gravel section.
Yeah.
There's a giant rock in the middle of the road.
The Toit de Bessage starts tomorrow. If you're listening to this show live with us on YouTube, it starts tomorrow. So we made it, you guys. Where's my celebratory? I don't know. Where is my celebratory? Is this this one? I think that's good enough, right? We made it to the fucking bike racing season, finally. We got through. Caleb Ewan obviously had a great sprint today. Corked one there. Thoughts on these early races? Are they great simply because we haven't seen anything? I mean, if what we were watching... No, you didn't watch anything today. But Toit de Passage tomorrow, I mean, if you're watching that, is it truly a great bike race, or is it just that we are freaking desperate for anything right now?
It's all right.
Because I'm desperate for anything right now.
I think it's all right.
Do you?
I watched whatever that one the other day was. It was...
Marseille.
Yeah, Marseille.
It was a...
I watched it and I watched some of it and I was like, man, I don't care about this at all.
Really?
Just because it was like, I have specific names that I really like to watch. Just because I'd like to see how they are for like later season races. But right now, like, I was happy to see Alberto Bettiol.
Attacking well. Angry. Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It was fine. You know, it came down to a sprint, and then somebody who was not very largely named won it. So
yeah.
Yeah, Trek Segafredo kind of blew that one.
They had the guy.
Pedersen there.
Yeah.
They launched him like 150 meters from the finish line when it was uphill in a headwind, and that's not going to work. So,
I just know I'm going to make it through my work week now, knowing that I can go to work, sit down at my desk before my first part of the job starts, and I can watch the tail end of a bike race.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's peace. It's harmony.
I didn't think you could get out on your Wi-Fi.
I can get out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Unsecured?
Yeah. Parole officer said it was okay.
Well, I think the early season, like Jackson is saying, the early season races are... You know, to me, it's who to watch. Young guys like, you know, some of the young guys are like, hey, you know, I haven't heard of this guy, and he seems to be see if he's going to do anything through the rest of the season. Yeah. And, you know, they obviously those type of races wouldn't be that popular if they were in the middle of the chunk of the season because there's so many other classics around. But, you know, the exciting part is 25 days to hit Nieuwsblad.
So that's where you consider the first big dog.
Gone. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. It's launched.
Hit.
Yeah.
All right.
Hit Nieuwsblad.
Yeah. Jack, are you watching or are you
I've been focused on cross and I got other stuff.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't watched anything yet.
When I'm riding my trainer, I've been watching cross, so I'm just kind of been sticking. Other than like, you know, like, what if we compared, you know, Marco Pantani to climb to whomever on such and such climb, you know, as you're scrolling through
The rabbit hole of
YouTube while on a bike. You're so, but mostly cross. I haven't watched any of the new stuff.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
do I go to my third story?
No, you don't. We're 40 minutes in. I don't need necessarily go to my third story. So I'm going to go straight to the topic for tonight's show, you guys. You ready? Brought to you by our friends at Wahoo Fitness. You know what you need to do. That's right. Get to packfiller.com. You need to click on the link, and you need to shop the finest on onboard cycling computers, indoor or outdoor trainers. I mean, if you ride the trainers, you're one of those crit guys who rides a trainer before you get warmed up, or like most of the cyclocross people, we're on some rollers, which was very kind of heartwarming for me to see, and the best in accessories to help you get through the winter slumps. Speaking of which, I want to talk about cycling versus where you live. This is Jack Broadhead's topic, so if it sucks, blame
him.
It's
my fault. It's always my fault.
Some of us experience the four seasons. Some of us have more than that. For example, we here in Spokane have spring, summer, smoke, fall, winter, and wet. Those are our seasons. Cycling can get tough when the air is toxic, when the roads are covered in ice, and daylight sticks around for about 15 fucking minutes. So some of us are in dreamland. Warm climates, average temperatures that allow for arm and or leg warmers at the most. And the only need to change tires is when the tread starts to actually show wires, because they're just in these beautiful baby smooth roads. Fuck those guys. They're assholes. There, I said it. But we know that riding in adverse weather is part of the sport. It also makes you a hard ass. We know Belgium, where Paul has been, in case you guys didn't know that.
Several times, guys. Yeah. You've been to Belgium? Have I told you that?
No. Yeah. It's considered one of the cycling meccas of the world. Did you guys know that too?
But it's wet.
Yeah, and cold. I know. I've been there. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Where the weather is not good, right? So let's talk about if the climate makes the cyclist. That's our topic for tonight, and Jack brought that one up first. So, I want to start off very, very specific. What are the benefits of cycling in Spokane, Washington, where we have every single season plus a couple mixed into the mix? Does anybody have the benefits? I'm not asking about how much Spokane sucks, and most of the drivers are on meth, and they all have white pickups.
How many white trucks
did we see on the ride this weekend, Jackson? I mean, I'm like guessing 30.
Rapist vans?
I didn't even pay attention. No. Probably quite a few, though.
Not vans, Jack. I said white trucks.
What are white trucks?
I don't know.
You just counting cars?
No. Apparently, my conversation was that boring.
No, it's just like every time you said car back, I look back behind me. Yeah, that's like, another white truck.
Well, you're out in the farmlands.
Why white?
They're the cheapest.
You're full of shit. It's not because they're cheap.
It's a fleet vehicle.
Yeah.
The farmers buy white trucks. They're cheap.
And they're easy. They don't show dirt and dent. Yeah. I mean, they're yeah. Yeah.
I think that's bullshit.
Obama gave them free trucks.
Oh, fuck
you.
Anyway. What are the benefits of cycling in Spokane? Who's got one? Jackson, especially somebody who's just kind of returned.
Yeah, it's you have such a variety of like terrain. You don't only have like, it's not like, oh, great road riding, but everything else sucks. You can get like, it's great road riding. You have different places to go mountain biking. You've got
God, that was loud.
And then there's also a lot of gravel roads where we are as well. Mm-hmm. So you can get every single type that you'd be looking for all in one city.
Paul, fill in on that one.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the terrain and everything, and as it stands now in Spokane too, traffic, there may be occasional white truck behind you, but outside of that, I mean, within 10, 15 minutes, you can go out. The best are Sunday mornings, you know. Sunday mornings, doesn't matter what time of the year, it's lazy around here, and you can go for miles and miles and barely see anybody.
Any white trucks.
Hardly any more white trucks than anything else, apparently. But
oh yeah, that was Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
I find it interesting that neither of you mentioned climate when we when I asked you about the great things about riding in Spokane.
It's not the great thing.
Well, there is. Yeah. Well, the thing is like you mentioned earlier, the hard part. You know, getting a hard. I used to ride outside year round in my 20s mm-hmm. before I had a mortgage. And kids,
and before there were fires, fires back then.
Either. I would look, I would look as long as there was a strip of pavement between the frozen humps, I would be out.
Really,
and this is—I didn't have a cross bike. I just rode on, you know, 23C tubular training tires.
Yeah,
I mean, you can. I'd 5342. Yeah, I was just what you did, and I loved every minute of it. I mean, and I mentioned the last podcast of. Riding at 0 degrees. Now, that was stupid.
Yeah.
You just can't ride at 0 degrees. But, yeah, I think you can. There's a great – you can ride in all weathers. There's a great training like a Belgian and GCN Plus
mm-hmm.
in one of their shows. Great Watch video. That. And those – a lot of guys stick around Belgium and ride even whatever weather. And the weather's even worse than Spokane.
Yeah.
So –
But those guys get to go home, take a hot shower, take a nap for about 4 hours, go to the gym. So I mean, we're not talking about you or I. Yeah. I know.
When I was 20, it was pretty close to that. I mean, I had a job, but outside of that, yeah.
Yeah. The weather is not the best part of Spokane. The terrain, by mm-hmm. far, is the best. And because of the courses, because mm-hmm. of all what we grew up with. But the weather, I mean, you have that temperate, you know, May, June, April maybe, mm-hmm. but I mean it's cold all winter. It's hotter than hell in the midsummer. It's smokier than hell from August on. I mean it's the environment's not the best. It's so like Mars.
My next question was going to be: do we feel that warm climates truly hold an advantage? And I was going to be even a subtle change, such as the west side of the state, which is Jack, where you spend a good chunk of your time, is it that much of an advantage for the sport of cycling? And let's be honest, this show leans predominantly road, but the gravel is muddy and disgusting. The trails, you don't ride the trails over here this time of year because you don't want to destroy them even more. So tell me about our thoughts on do people in warmer climates, even as subtle as the Seattle switch, hold an advantage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he said that last show.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, because
100%.
Yeah, because you won't like you don't really understand how like everybody says like oh Portland or Seattle or like west side of the whatever
Cascades.
Northwest. Yeah. Is like it's super rainy. Like yeah, it rains, but also it is there are many days in the winter where it's like pretty dry.
Yeah.
But it's also like 60.
Yeah, when I was over there I was over there for 3 days and I didn't ride, and it was probably the most depressing thing about the last 2 weeks was I was in Hoquiam. It was 55 to 58 every day. I sent you a couple pictures.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous blue skies. You almost had a hint of warm wind. You know, as soon as 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock comes around, it's starting to drop. You know, it's mm-hmm. back down into mm-hmm. the 40s and it's heading down pretty fast, but you know, if there was some way that I could take the middle of the day off, I would have been out for a couple hours because it was gorgeous. I mean, I was out at the ocean, and where you'd think in the middle of winter it'd be like pouring down rain. It was like some people probably could tell by that picture.
So
that
if there's an advantage, tropical. If there's an advantage, why is Colorado a cycling mecca of the United States, and why aren't cyclists from warmer climates constantly kicking the shit out of everybody else?
Chinook winds in Colorado. I mean, it's 60 degrees in the winter at times.
Yeah,
I've lived in Colorado Springs mm-hmm. at the Olympic Training Center, and it was Chinook shit. It was terrible. Yeah, it was fucking cold all the
32
time.
And
it was a lot like Spokane. The weather was terrible. The only thing I could look forward to was a bottle of hot tea with a shit ton of honey in it being handed to me by a Polish coach. That was all I looked forward to that entire summer.
So a lot of those Colorado cyclists do cross train in the winter. I mean, they are,
my
Nordic
point.
Skiers. They
thank
are,
you for bringing it up.
They're not that. That's the one thing we, you know, don't do very much.
If these climates provide this advantage, what are the ways we frozenlanders make up the difference? Because we don't go into the spring races right. with a huge
peak
deficit.
Form, no.
Or what? No, with a huge deficit either, though, as yeah. opposed to the warm climate.
You're a month
people.
Behind, probably.
Yeah. But when it really counts,
yeah.
why aren't we all living in warm climates?
The one thing I noticed, and I'll make it quick, is when I went from growing up in Spokane where I'd ski in the winter, and, mm-hmm. and especially those last couple of years I lived here, I would Nordic ski race the winter through and get on my bike. I'd have a lot of fitness, but, you know, kind of get, I'd be a little bit behind the Seattle side. When I moved to Seattle, you don't stop riding. You just don't. Everybody's riding. And whether you're putting the fenders on, riding.
Well, we're going to get to the fenders.
I'll hold that off. But anyway, you just don't stop riding. Now, it's easy way to get burned out. It's just constant mm-hmm. riding.
Yeah.
And so that's what you got to, you know, work on your mental is not burning out on riding. Where here, it's like, I can't ride. Oh, I got to ride inside, you know.
Yeah.
And things have gotten a lot better with Zwift and all that, but
I couldn't agree more. I mean, last year, I never stopped. Like throughout the entire, and I will say I was pretty freaked out by BWR, but I think that's a big reason as to why I was where I was by the end of the summer. Like that was I can confidently say I was at Cat 2 race fitness
mm-hmm.
back at the end of the summer last year. I didn't ever stop riding. I rode from when I started school and then all the way through till I moved here. It just it never had to stop until it like rained for a full week.
That gets a little old. Mm-hmm. The rain for a full week. It does. It's tiring.
It you is.
Know, you're wet all the time.
Yeah. And then I remember always constantly like looking at the weather like, oh, maybe this is going to be. And
there's
then
a window.
Yeah, and then the worst, the worst kick in the pants is right when you're like, oh, I'm about to, like, I got a day to ride, but then it, like, switches on you the last minute, and you're like, oh, it's just raining a hell of a lot.
Jackson, are there any fears or concern now that you don't live in a climate that you're able to ride consistently throughout?
Well, I got a lucky age, and that sure. that comes back. And
but there are other people your age
yeah,
who are training right now.
But I'm also confident in the fact that I am riding pretty hard right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I mentioned before, when I train as if I am training as I was at the end of August last year. It just, like, it is hard. It's a shock to the system at first, but, like, I try and ride as hard as I can no matter what, even if I can't reach those numbers, just because, like, that's for me a way to push myself back into where I was.
This is a perfect time for me to switch to Paul. What did you do before technology, before cartoons, mm-hmm. before this the internet came aboard and suddenly started to change things? I you know, what was your
color
what
TV
was,
before
color TV
before smart trainers, before internet controlled trainers? What was your method? What got you through the winter?
Well, typically
fit.
Yeah, so I would I didn't do it very often, but I did some cross country skiing. And I think it is good to kind of recharge, because my hunger, my passion, my zeal for cycling mm-hmm. is always there. And when I can't do it, it only, you know, like your heart grows fonder type thing. So I used to do like workouts and some rollers in November and December, kind of continue on. And if I could sneak in a ride, if I was blessed that I could sneak out. And I've done it on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas or something, if it falls on the weekend. I've always been able to do it. And the New Year's, unless it's crappy,
mm-hmm.
I'd go out on a New Year's just to, so I have that taste in my mouth,
yeah.
you know, that it's still there. January, it's hit and miss. I'd be rollers during the day because we have hardly any daylight. Not like Sweden or anything, but, you know. But so, you know, on the weekends, if I couldn't ride, then it was some rollers and I started tapering off any kind of other type of weight bearing exercise. And then February, rarely, every once in a while we get to a cold snap, but I just looked at the weather. Starting Saturday, we're above 40s for the next couple of weeks. So, yeah. And no rain. So, and that's
why I just got giddy.
And that's what I used to, February was like, I rode whenever I could. If I got off work early, I'd grab an hour before daylight, you know, was shutting down. And that's how I did it.
You know? So you kept saying a specific word that I think people of another generation might not understand. And Jack, you're going to be on par with this. And sorry, Jackson, you might be a little confused. It was the term rollers.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what rollers
I know what
are. Most cyclists know what rollers are. No, but my point is what were the roller workouts you did, and do you think they would hold with the Zwift and those types of modern-day workouts that are being
not
done?
Not even close.
Not even close.
No. They were good. One thing that
technique,
was positive.
They were a master of technique.
I mean, and you would get bored, and I would like ride to the edge, and you know, you do all kinds of things.
Try not to crash.
Yeah. Go back and forth. No, just see how close I can get to the edge, and then bring it back slowly, and then trying
to
find
the
mark.
Hop onto the carpet, and then hop back on.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that? Lock it up, jump off, ride,
and ride off
a couple of times. Okay. Yeah, really? You can do.
But
that.
But you need a park, not in your living room.
Yeah, in garage.
Yeah,
I'd open up the garage, bunny hop off, and shoot off.
No shit.
And you know, that's probably what, like this weekend we're talking about riding. I'll get a half hour on the rollers before I go out for a ride.
What?
A warm up. Just a warm up. Then you start off. Instead of, everybody hates rolling out, and you're like, oh god,
he'll sit at Thomas Hammer for about 30 minutes.
Oh, they
45
have heated
minutes.
Outside seats.
Yeah. Freezing.
We left Jackson's house this weekend, and it was a downhill right out of the gates.
No,
it was just like,
not good.
Oh Jesus, that was cold. That was cold.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's were there workouts, or would you get on the rollers and spin until you almost fell off?
You know, I had my VCR all set up, and there were certain races that I watched.
Fuck your old.
The 92 Tour of Flanders is one that was my second tape I ever got. It's all grainy now because I watched it so many times.
Sure. But
anytime you hit the bricks.
Era, or is that? No, that's later than that.
That was Jackie Duran won that.
Yeah, that's earlier.
Thomas
is just like
Johan's
in another
like
world.
Mid-90s for Johan Museo?
Yeah, Museo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's, he was, I think he was racing in that race, but he didn't do well. But anyway, there would be like, oh, they're hitting the bricks. So I'd do like a sprint workout. If I watched like Sunday in Hell when they hit the cobbles, I'd, you know,
you
like
would
sprint.
Up
yeah.
It.
Okay. And then during the evenings, I used to watch reruns of the old Star Trek, and every commercial I would do like an interval. To
every
the
time
commercial.
Captain Kirk said, "Beam me up, Scotty," you'd do a
30-second sprint.
Yeah,
every
drink.
Yeah. Bob Newhart, every time
Bob,
somebody said, "Hi, Bob."
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Yeah. Jackson, does this all sound like absolute lunacy to you in terms of this Cro-Magnon method of training? I mean, I remember my wind trainer, which was your you'd hook your bike to
trainer.
It. Yeah, and it had a fan on the back. You're yawning as I'm saying.
No, it's not because of you.
And it would be so loud in the basement that I'm pretty sure it caused hearing damage. But that was what you had to do. And tire wear. Don't
that
get me started on tire wear. We blew through these things. And are you tired of hearing this shit at all? Or is that, what the hell's gonna be like in 30 years when, you know, you're telling somebody what it used to be like?
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like stupid or anything. It more just,
yeah, it does.
No, it
do what you gotta do.
Yeah. It more just sounds like how far we've come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that it's really cool that like all of these things were out there, but now the fact that we have to take like the brain work out of it, we can just go and train.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool that we now have that capability, especially with like the smart trainer and everything. We don't have like, we now have the capabilities of, instead of doing a sprint workout, they like put the resistance in there to make it like even harder or more realistic, and it can train you for the open road rather than like just
having to shift a gear. And,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which,
okay,
I'm
going uphill.
Yeah, which I think that's such a cool advancement now that this very like specific market has all of these options now. That's a really cool thing.
Training in cold weather makes you a badass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Belgians do it.
Yeah.
And I've been there.
Yep.
But
Wait, what?
Paul's hands. Paul's hands approve.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of my way to phrase this next question in case people wonder if I write everything down. if training outdoors in the cold makes you a badass, and training indoor is a good thing and yada yada yada, what is the defining line of when you decide to go out versus when you decide to stay in? How often and when do you decide to just say, fuck it, I'm going? I'm not going to lie, Jackson, if you wouldn't have called me and told me we got to ride outside this weekend, I wouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know
I found things to do down here.
Well, or I would have just said it's so easy to throw on a pair of shorts and an undershirt and just hop on the trainer. But I came back from that ride with Jackson on Sunday and I texted you and I said, oh my God, my head's clearer. I'm in a better mood. That was great. But it took me 30 plus minutes running around the house going, where the fuck did I put my other shoe cover? or finding all that stuff and having all that stuff and how technology has changed, you know, from wool tights and shitty shoe covers and stuff like that. But I don't know why I'm rambling, but I just want to, you know, what's the shift? What makes you go outside?
For me, I think it has to be above, like 35. I'd like 35 and above.
That's cold.
Yeah. I'm not, like, tomorrow's supposed to be 25 is our high. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would, no way in hell am I going to do that.
Really?
Cause like the difference between 35 and 25, that's a huge, big difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once you go above 35, your mentality starts to go, oh, it's kind of close to 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just think every downhill you do is just like that much colder. You're not working hard. So you living on the hill. I mean, you end with a hill, but you're going to start with a hill maybe.
Downhill. We were smart enough to wear those little neck gaiters so you can just pull mm-hmm. over your face. Yeah. That was a great thing.
That's kind of the one problem with outdoor cycling in the winter is anytime you're not working hard or anytime you are going downhill mm-hmm. is that versus, I'd have to say, compared to running where you're always working out, working hard. I know.
Yeah, that's you were how ready. It feels.
You,
that's how it feels. Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think I was doing that on some of the early climbs. Yeah. But it was more of a muffled scream.
I heard. Well, I think, to me, I think being from the old world and being part of the new world and what I quit doing Zwift, chasing cartoons, that type mm-hmm. of thing, because there's times where I really would probably go outside. It was too easy for me to hop on the bike. The rollers, okay. You know, because you can get a really good workout. You can do, you know, like the last one I did on systems was just scaled up and it'd take you up to your FTP and then it mm-hmm. took you above and you had to hold it for 4 minutes. And I'm thinking, that was a 35-minute workout. I'm thinking, I got a good power. I mean, a good workout in 35 minutes. But as CP will testify, who spent after his hip surgery,
yeah,
he like could slam it on Zwift. And we went out for a road ride, and I hadn't been riding, and you and I haven't been riding much on Zwift or anything. Mm-hmm. And he suffered on the road, and it's completely different. Your 35-minute, even an hour workout, once you start breaking that point, that endurance or even attrition, it's completely different.
And your heart rate can't get as high.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that true. I mean, and my watch.
On indoor?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. it doesn't because of the heat. Oh. Your body heat is so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's super interesting because last week on Zwift, I hit 190.
Did you really?
Beats per minute. And that's something that I only have ever reached outside.
Wow.
Which is, that's the first time that's ever happened.
Though. But you so won that race.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It was the pure determination.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do agree with you on the wattage. I feel like when I'm outside, my FTP would probably be higher than it would be inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm going to throw a question here. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned, I was going to, but my winter bike
Is in
Holcomb.
Yeah, it's odd, huh?
Yeah, winter.
At what point in our lives did we dedicate a bike as a winter bike?
I probably started with a winter bike as a junior.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. You really did.
It was usually old bike that never became a race bike the next year. Generally get a new bike every year, right? We all got new bikes every year.
No.
Wow.
There was probably one year you didn't, but for the most part.
Were a ton of years I didn't. I was on noodly Venuses for a decade.
You rode probably a Choach and a Raleigh and a,
I was never on a Raleigh.
You were never on a Raleigh?
I was on a Choach, and then I crashed the Choach.
Did you ever get a Nishiki?
No.
For like, you didn't get one?
I was on Vetuses forever.
And like just one Vetus?
No, two.
Okay, we're going.
No two. One rides one Vetus.
I did. I was rode on one.
Not in the season, I don't ride one.
Guys, the whole I was on two Vetuses and two Vetuses and one Choach for probably about 10 years.
Wow.
Well, your Vetuses last that long?
No, but I still rode them.
He had the Vetus for 2 years and the Choach for 8.
Yeah.
No, I wish I had the Choach for 8. I wish I had the Choach for 8.
So,
the Choach I crashed into the back of a car.
No. I remember that story.
Mm-hmm. But
don't do that.
So I know it was dumb.
So the winter bike, winter bike is generally either a less expensive bike you can get your hands on, whether it's somebody else's cast off.
Really, that spoon fed that you had multiple bikes when you were your child?
No,
I know I'm joking.
I was he poor. Got things just given to him.
People just gave him.
He rode for grannies. Poor.
I'm thinking of most. So I'm thinking of most normal Joes out there.
Okay, so but as you get, I mean, you guy with 14 bikes. And me.
Well, that was two. That's
I
now.
Have two now.
That's
I know,
fair.
I know, but, uh-huh.
But that's now.
You've had 14 bikes for a long time.
But that's now. That's my adulthood.
Yeah. So you can dedicate one bike to the winter
mm-hmm.
that is only your winter bike. You step on it in October and you get off it in late April.
But I don't.
But that's the problem.
I rode the Giant.
Did you
this weekend?
See, because it was clear roads. And it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
But does your Harry Gary have fenders on it?
The Harry Gary.
Did you take them off because you weren't riding it this weekend?
My next topic was going to bring up Jack about his obsession with fenders.
Oh, God, I freaked out.
Jack.
I told my wife, you got to calm me down. What do you got?
Jack was drunk texting us. Oh. And he was getting on this gigantic, holier-than-thou fender mentality, talking about the importance of fenders.
Sam and I were talking about this. Like, I don't know why they give you so much shit about fenders. If you were to go over to Seattle and ride a winter ride.
Exactly!
We don't need them here.
Seattle!
But you don't ride outside in the winter here.
Yeah, I do.
What has this entire show been about?
One ride a week outside.
So what I'm saying is your obsession with fenders I'm not going to say unhealthy, but I am going to say,
hey, I think they look cool.
Did you the guy? Okay. That's your first
that's
problem.
That's unhealthy.
There's so much to unwrap here. Isn't there?
About, I got to take off my sweatshirt.
Yeah.
He's getting old.
Jack, you Jack's have this mentality. Right the winner, the winner is made for fenders. Okay.
Yeah.
You come from predominantly
a dry climate.
Well, here I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. your time's over on the West Coast.
Okay,
and are wet, and I understand that. Now, what is your reasoning about leaving fenders on a bike when it's dry outside?
Well, for one, it is, and I don't know what fender Stupid product looking. You have, but it's a pain in the ass to put on take off. Oh,
really? I never put them on.
Hey, it's starting to rain. I know, it's starting to rain. You know, Jackson and I were just talking about it. It's like, hey, I got this window. Oh, it's starting to rain. Well, I'll just get on the other bike, and I'll go out with fenders on, and I won't get as wet.
Have you ever put fenders on a GD bike? Oh, like screw-on ones?
Oh,
those suck.
See, mine aren't screw-on ones. Mine are just strap-ons.
Yeah.
Well, I feel weird saying that.
you've never done fenders until you put them on your bike.
Well, yeah. And so I'm more into the permanent.
You don't like strap-ons. Well, that's what he called them.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. I'm more into
minor
the full fenders. Add a water bottle, you know, cut a water bottle in half. Make your fender go down even further towards the ground. You know, just
that's
like
polite.
protect everybody around you and yourself. Your booties won't get as wet if you flare out the back of the fender. You know,
really?
The front fender. Oh yeah,
Put a milk carton on the bottom of that?
I'm speaking from a position of ignorance. Okay. We have two people who know the shit they're talking about. I don't ride with vendors.
So I more lights. Sure. I mean, I'm not worried about weight. I'm not worried about looks. My winter bike is funny or ugly as it wants. It can be as heavy as it wants to. Hey, that's like a weight vest. I don't care.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I just want to be comfortable for longer in the environment that I'm riding in. If it's a dry day and I'm on my winter bike, there's road grime. I might crash on gravel. My race bike's for racing. It's not my practice bike.
Well, Except in the summer. I used to follow your rule. I always had my backup bike. I never sell bikes. And I always had that as my winter bike, but I didn't put frickin' fenders on there. And I didn't put lights on there. I have a light if
you rode alone just, a lot. I did.
Yes. Yeah.
And you didn't mention, because in your text you said a bell. Why in the hell would I put a frickin' bell?
For entertainment. You're out there for 5 hours, you're just like, hey, elk.
I'd rather wet myself and get warm.
And I meant, as soon as you guys mentioned that, I'm like, I think on the elephant, I'm just going to add a little mirror to the end of the bar end.
Don't you fucking dare. Don't you rip the soul out of that bike.
So that, I mean, you're out riding and you want to be able to see a car coming.
Why don't you put a third eye on?
Justin, that's my helmet. That's my helmet. Right. I'm not going to touch my helmet.
All right.
I do have it. Yeah.
You know, Jack, if you feel safer doing that, I respect you for that.
Thank you.
Oh. Yeah.
But we're going to point fingers and laugh when you're back.
I've never actually had a mirror on my bike, but because it's the elephant, I thought about adding that.
Because you were going to do it to a bike I used to.
Yeah.
You're just
and the fenders will never
come off. It's like pissing on my grave.
The fenders will never come off. I'm going to leave the Pat Bulger on the top tube. I think I already did. And say Pat Bulger.
It said Villa Minotti on it, too.
And Pat Bulger.
But you leave them on there because you don't know how to take them off, right? Because that's why I left mine on there.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, I figured it out. You just rip them off.
So really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the reasoning behind fenders, and I own them. I just...
Yeah.
Every time I put them on, it stops raining.
I don't expect people in, like, Palm Springs to go buy fenders and build a winter bike. Well, you know, but
they're the assholes I talked about at the beginning of the topic.
Yeah, anybody living in an adverse climate should have
I did have a bike that always had fenders on it, and it was my commuter bike.
Exactly.
And because
you didn't want to get wet before you went to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the I would home. Carry special. Yeah. I would have backup shoes and socks and my van.
You didn't take the fenders off on a nice day.
Not my commuter bike. No.
No.
Mm. No. Because
he had his khakis on, little tie around it.
Khakis.
Go around, spread the word. So, gentlemen, if you had to give tips or tricks for those out there about how to stay warm, safe riding on the roads, keeping sane, building fitness, not getting fat for winter, if there's something that pops into your head, for example, my advice is going to be, especially if in February and March when things are terrible, if they are around you, find a mini trip. Find a way to get to a place. For example, I think I talked about this on the last show. Lewiston, for us, is about 2 hours away, and it's about 10, 15 degrees warmer.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah, make a fun week or weekend to go down there and just get a ride in. You know, wake up early in the morning, go ride someplace that is warmer. That's my tip or trick. But does anybody have anything that you'd like to throw out there that you think that'll get you through? Jackson, you've just, you know, your purchase of tights. I can't believe this is your first set of tights. I can't believe that you haven't owned any for so long. You know, if you had to give advice for a rider who's just trying to get out of the doldrums, even online advice.
I think for trying to get outside, I think tights are a pretty big game changer.
Sure.
But I also think just pure grit and determination. You don't have to go for 5 miles. You can go for however long you want. As long as I mentioned this last show, that there is no other feeling like riding outside. So if you do it for a little or for a long time, that's all that matters.
Even if it takes you 45 minutes to get ready, that's just, I just don't weigh that out. I mean, I do weigh it out. That's my problem.
Yeah. I will say though, if you are wanting to like stick inside, I think vary your types of rides. If you want to ride try structured workouts, try free form work, like riding on Zwift, try racing, try it all because it gets boring Rollers. Fast. Yeah, do it all because it sucks. And initially, there's a honeymoon phase with Zwift and System. You're like, this is so cool. I've never had this before. Oh my God, like this is the technology is so amazing. And then give it a year.
Yeah.
The next year, it sucks.
It's like methamphetamines.
Yep. And so,
pretty much.
Anyway, you know, to add to almost what he made me think is...
What?
besides methamphetamines, just... I have no experience with that, by the way.
Well, welcome to Spokane.
Yeah.
You're on this side of the state.
So,
it's either that or a Peter Frampton album. You have to own one.
Yeah, neither. So staying close to home, I mean, you could do loops. I mean, like up by the Moran Prairie. So you got these 10-mile loops. You get cold, you go home. Oh, 20 miles. I feel good. You know, many rides where I've been looking for a phone to get a pickup because I'm done. I'm cold. I'm bonked. I'm too far from home.
That's a great idea. 10-mile loop. Come back to the house. Warm up. 10-mile loop.
Yeah, you never know when you're like 15 miles from home and you are unable to make it home.
Yeah, I've been there many times.
Yeah.
Piss yourself.
No, I didn't. I couldn't do that. I just.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
I did like Jackson. You know, trying to mix it up. No, I agree with you, and it is so hard because after a while, you know, you log on to Zwift and it's like, oh, okay, I have three places to ride. I've ridden every route on those rides, but it's different. You go outside and ride the same route you've always ridden.
Yeah.
But you have white pickup trucks following you.
You do.
And that changes it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There was a blue one.
And you're going to start memorize the license plates.
And you just quit listening to whoever you're riding with and count white pickup trucks.
Yeah.
See,
whoever rolled coal. How many cars rolled coal on you this week or something like that? You know, that's that other. But, Paul, any way to get through?
I would say, you know, to me that not really having to hit the road every single day and doing various things, cross-country skiing or something through the dark and running. I did that too. I'd say that would work. But I think once you get on the bike, I think drape yourself in wool.
Yeah.
That's layers and
more
wool.
Layers.
Wool
layers.
And layers. Yeah.
It's the magic fabric, man, and I think it's going to make a comeback. And I know you're joking, but
I'm not joking.
Oh, really?
I have a lot of wool stuff.
Really?
Yeah, my wife, my wife knits me wool socks. In fact, no, I don't have
your
a
wife
went
knits them.
Jackson, you wear like a smart wool style of sock.
Like
I wear wool every day.
Yes, so do I. Like when we
wool underwear on right now.
Yeah, when we
a little itchy. But
when we rode this last weekend, it's like I wore a kind of a thinnish wool sock, and my feet got a little cold. But like they especially because I have velo toes.
I was surprised that your feet didn't get cold.
Well, it's like an oven in there.
Yeah,
and then. When your feet starts like to get when my shoes were wet,
yeah,
like by the end of it, yeah, but my feet completely dry because of the wool sock, which is really
minor. I mean, I guess I can't say anything different. My shoe covers are neoprene, so it's kind of the same concept. Yeah, it's just a glorified.
Yeah, I have several pairs of Panache makes a merino wool. That's usually the best. Mm-hmm. They have thinner for thicker and colder weather. I use my wife's wool socks that she makes.
Do you? And I'm going to swear by them. They're not a sponsor of the show. I don't know where you can buy them, but the Showers Pass gloves are the best ones I've had in a long time. Yeah. They're great for getting out there. I mean, you and I, and they're thin. They're not that huge.
Yeah.
But my fingers were kind of cold, but not cold, and it was, mid-20s?
What brand?
On a ride today? Yeah. Showers Pass is the brand.
My fingers
completely
never got cold.
Completely unendorsed endorsement. Yeah, great.
Do you
have
to wear a different pair of shoes, cycling shoes, with your bigger
wool socks? I have an old pair of Genius CDs, and I have a fleece. They stay inside the booty, and that's just my winter shoes.
Yeah.
The heel cup's kind of broken down a little bit, so it's fine. Winter.
Before we finish, Jack, how's the bike? How's the update? Is there a bike update?
God, no.
You found one yet?
Oh, man.
Inquiring minds want to know, Jack, when the fuck are you going to get on something made this decade?
Well, he told me the other day that he's talking to Argon 18, and he wants Fender eyelets.
Fender eyelets. As soon as they incorporate that into
the
Gallium.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a very specific bike sponsor, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to have Fender eyelets.
Carbon with Fender eyelets.
That'd be messed up.
Aerobike with Fender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody have any events they're adding to the calendar?
I stepped into Hornet's Nest. I signed myself up for work a couple of days a week of mechanical 2 class. So
you
I have commercial rated. Yeah.
Fool.
So March and April are.
Is that again. Vance Creek? Is April
weekends?
No, weekends will be, open. But I don't know what my load's going to be.
Oh,
so
for
but I mean, yeah, I got it. I've got to training. I will be able to, but the road. To travel on the road and come back.
We lost Paul, everybody.
Just for a couple of months, March and April. And I'll be wiser at the end of it.
We lost Paul, everybody. It's all over.
You wait, Mr. Higgins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I signed up for an event today.
Yeah.
Ching ching. No, I don't know.
I signed
some
up.
Sort of.
No, that's Yay. The bike, though. That's some fun.
I signed up for the Freita Gran Fondo, which
what are you afraid
sounds.
Of?
Much more depressing than it actually is.
What day is that? March what?
That is March 20th. It is in Ephrata, Washington. And if you haven't heard of it, congratulations.
Is it paved?
It is, I think, 88 miles, and I think 20-some miles of it is gravel. Hmm. It is about 4,000 feet of climbing, which isn't too bad. And I am going to do it, and the diva himself is going to be there. The one and only Carson Hagen is going to be there. I'm calling him out right now, and I found my first thing to train for. And I'm not calling you guys out, making you guys do it, but I, in the back of my head now, knowing I have an 88-mile race / Fondo / ride / it's not a race, in less than 2 months, it has motivated me.
There's a potential I will do it.
Really?
It depends on the gravel. If it's really chunky where you need a 32C,
like.
or a gravel bike.
I'm going to ride on the same wheels I did Bells and Wafflin.
And how wide are those?
Are you riding your...
Well, I don't know. What were we on, Jackson?
We were on 32.
You're on your gravel bike then.
Yeah. I'll ride it just because...
Can I ride my Fender bike?
Well, yours is a cross bike.
Nowhere near me.
I'm gonna.
So I'm just throwing the gauntlet down there. That's the first one there. But if I am already. I signed up for today, and already there's this. Pat, you gotta fucking quit screwing around. Just eat one less taco tonight, man. You gotta get your shit together.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah,
is. I will say I'd really like to do Vance Creek. I think that'd be pretty cool.
It's a great course. I want to do that for sure.
And that's wonderful course. When is that again?
The 16th of April.
And you've ridden that course in a junior race.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's right at the point, too, that there's other things that might conflict because my wife works that weekend.
When you guys come out without Paul, are you guys going to want to do a ride, including the race, or are you just looking to party and race?
If it's just a weekend, I don't,
a Sunday ride after that.
Easy spin, but no, Sunday we'd probably get in the car and drive home.
After a ride?
Yeah.
You come out on Friday.
What race on Saturday,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So stay Saturday night and drive home Sunday morning.
You would
come out Friday.
Do the race on Saturday, stay Saturday, make Jack feed us.
I've been driving all
these
roads.
Pee in the bucket, shower outside, stuff like that.
I've got all these roads, these loops for you guys to come out and
That's
ride.
That's the spring camp.
When's
we gotta
that?
Do the spring. I don't know. We got to talk about that. Listeners are going, it has nothing to do with me. So I'm going to say, hey, everybody, I do want to announce Pack Filler's direct involvement with 24 Hours of Riverside. Speaking of events happening May 28th and 29th in Spokane, Washington, 24-hour mountain bike racing is back in Spokane. You can do it on a gravel bike if you want.
I got to tune up my bike.
Yeah, if you want to do it. Get to the 24hoursofriverside.com or follow them on Facebook. Great event. Registration is open as I speak right now. So there we go. Send us your ideas on how to keep sane during the winter months. And I don't know. Figure it out, man. Do like me. Find an event and scare the shit out of yourself, I guess. Maybe that's the way to do it. Thank you, Jackson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
My pleasure.
And thank you, of course, Paul.
Thank you.
And I'm glad to see you're sitting upright and you're not going.
Yeah, yeah. Oh! Thanks to Sam.
Kids these
days. He does other things than fit bikes.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So check him out at Ambassador Cycling. There's the sponsor plug. That's button number 5 right there. So we will catch you guys next week. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.